Well, hello and welcome to Mike's iLab podcast, episode 143 for the 28th of September, 2017. Well, hello and welcome to this week's podcast. I've been listening to back to some of them on my headphones and on speakers, and I'd really like to see if I could improve the sound quality. I know we boost it, and Stuart's been happy with the volume side, but I'm finding it, I think, is a bit compressed. I have to play around with more of the Audacity settings. It might just be the quality of the sound card in the laptop that I'm using now. Any suggestions? Be very welcome. On Sunday, we had the TTN gathering, and this time, although people kindly had no objections to having it at our lab, we decided if we could, we'd have it up at Merle, partly so people could see the beatbox as it's going to be harvested next month. And partly, it was a different change of venue. I think it was successful, partly because the cafe was very quiet. But lots of discussion around the microbit and the survey results about building the microbit shield that was designed and created by Richard. That one we would like to see if we can produce more of. It's a question of the cost of build versus what people are interested in paying, and the survey indicated the It's a very close call. If we can reduce the price, then that's a possibility. So if anyone is interested in the microbit shield for the LoRaWAN, send us your views over at thingitude.com. You'll find a blog post with the survey and the survey results. So let's have a look and see what's been going on in the Google Groups. This week is TCT, which is the 3D printing exhibition, and Alex is up there. I'll mention that a bit later. And Tony was visiting as well with some samples he had last night. And there was a tour with Derek, who works at in the agricultural research establishment, bringing around their building an innovation lab. And we're looking to see what ideas for tools he brought around, the project manager for that, and a number of the students who might be able to take advantage of it. So catching up with what was last week, the 3D printer power supply was having problems, and Alex had ordered one. It's now arrived, he says, and he will be installing it, I guess. Well, see, it's back from the NEC, although the 3D printer has continued to be functional in spite of some concerns about the power supply. I mentioned that I'd discovered a site called player.fm, who are also hosting an online player for podcasts, including the R-Lab one here. And a post that went up, probably just as I did the podcast last week, just after that, from a new member, Celia, who is an artist, quite in with the artist crowd around Reading, joined as a member after we met her through the Things Network and the Artists Meet Data event that we did last year. Alerting makers to 100 Flowers for Oscar Wilde challenge. Basically, it seems they want to have 100 flowers made by 100 individuals to form a display at Haslam's window in Friar Street as a tribute to Oscar Wilde. They're based around a lily, and the closing a date that the flowers have to be made is next Tuesday, the 3rd of October. So we've lost a week, but Andy came back with something he'd already made. Basically, a version of, there was a flower that was in part of a film some years ago that opened and closed and went around eating people, I think. And he had made a robot version of the flower, which he dug out and still works. He's posted a YouTube video of it. So he makes some great machines, and his machines are a channel on YouTube. So I'm just wondering if there's something we can do on the R-Lab or the Things Network side. I think it would be a good opportunity to get the word out. If anyone has any thoughts, then still not too late. We've still got a weekend to create something. Could be simple. It'd be part of the bouquet. Read up on the rules and the challenge under project to make a 3D lily for exhibition at Reading Museum. And I mentioned last week about the new toy post and a demonstration of what the bandsaw is capable of. Arthur had posted a link to a video that we obviously had a bit of a broken link. It just took me to my own homepage, but he corrected it and put the correct link in. So if you haven't seen that video cutting a chunky piece of wood, then you can see the updated link in the post under new toy. And there was a bump of the 3D Thursdays from last week. Hubert was asking about whether it's still going. Tony says that not many people had turned up over a number of weeks, so he sort of thought there was no interest. So if there is, shout. And asking about inductions on the 3D printer and the laser cutter. Again, that's being arranged if you've got interest to post up on the group, preferably with your name as it is known to the directors. Help Tony work out what level of people might be and adjust the induction sets accordingly. And Ian highlights a tool show at Kempton Park on 6th to 8th of October. D&M Tools have organised a good collection of companies at the racecourse. Puts a link to the toolshow.com. He says he's got a number of companies he wants to talk to and has got some spare seats if anyone wants to join them. And Steve alerts us to some work he did on the lathe under lathe maintenance. I checked and adjusted the wear strips, side clamps and backlash nuts on the big lathe to bring their play on the slides back into the recommended tolerance. So if you notice the controls are feeling a bit heavier, it's not the fault with the machine, the result of the adjustment. So that's a useful note. And some interesting information in a seemingly innocuous thread about large lathe cutter error. Tom was posting on behalf of Richard, this is Cat Flat Richard, who said he had got a series of water errors and on the laser. He said the chiller was on and there was water, but was wondering about it. Anyway, Richard and explained that the water error is a generic error that comes from a number of different conditions. But one particular condition that it's useful to be aware of is that if the lid isn't closed properly and the two sensors are not lit, then it will come up with that error. Now, the reason was that it wasn't being reliable in the way that it was doing the error when it was originally installed. So an additional board was added, and the only error that could be tapped into was the water error circuit. So it could be a water error, although if that was true, the actual chiller would have its own errors, or it wasn't turned on. On the other hand, if it's a lid error, you can check that the two LEDs are lit. And further down the thread, there's an explanation that from Jonathan, who posted some helpful pictures here of a piece of acrylic, which was really not visible to the naked eye, but was stopping a lid closing properly and triggering one of the sensors. So that's very helpful. And if you're not, apparently there used to be a sign. So if there isn't a sign, there probably will be shortly. And even if there isn't a sign, make yourself aware of the that water error can mean lid not closed error. And this evening is the Radark monthly meetup, and John Gum posts about what they're doing tonight. High quality voice on high frequency radio. So interesting. I was just talking about improving the quality of my voice on this podcast. And I think the talk is being given by Alison Johnston, but I think Alison is the one I was talking about as very knowledgeable on lots of regulations as well. So that's going to be at Woodford Park Sports Centre in Woodley from 8 p.m. And he says, right back to debugging my fridge. Sometimes these things are too clever for their own good now. So obviously got a smart fridge. And John's a great guy and very knowledgeable and helpful on lots of things around the Internet of Things and other radio activities as well. So thanks to John for posting up that note. A couple of people seem to have some problems with cards, not exactly sure what they are, but they all seem to get sorted by people posting up on the group. And I mentioned about Stephen's Dymaxium map and the laser cutting of it. He says, I got the source of the SGV from the Wikipedia site, and he puts a link to it under Fuller Projection Rotated. And the post generated a couple of additional comments. Stephen said the tricky bit is gluing the sides, as they have to glue on the edge, not flush. I end up making cardboard V-shapes to help gluing, but I guess you could stand the edges to the correct angle. And Dimitri says, an interesting project would it be easy to make a sort of jig that holds all the pieces and have a router or saw cut an angle at the sides to make the glue easier. And Tony posts, for non-right angle joints, this is a useful tool, and he puts a link to an Instructables joinery joints for laser cut assemblies. Yes, and so looking at the Instructable, it's basically a product, or yes, something on GitHub that called joinery, and it creates a number of different types of joints, or it allows you to do them depending on the task, whether it be making some sort of ball or one of these extrahedrons, or shoes and other things. So it's quite a comprehensive post. The system runs on Chrome, Firefox, and Microsoft Edge. Safari users have reported numerous bugs. It takes an Inkscape or Illustrator file. Yes, I think that's certainly a resource we should be adding to the laser techniques bit of the wiki. Should make a note of that for later. And Tom alerts us to this Thursday, so it would normally be a 3D Thursday, although we've established that there is some renewed interest. But this week, Tom says, I plan on showing some of my maker friends around. I think I mentioned this last week on Thursday, then having a simple, no, I can't have done because that was the 25th, and having a simple Arduino 101 session with them, so they can all leave with a blinky thing, basically, an extended tour and a takeaway at the end. I have three more kits if anyone would like to join. So Arthur put his hand up to that. So that leaves a couple more kits if anyone's interested in making an Arduino blinky thing. Basically, a 5-volt Arduino mini, USB cable, battery bank, and LEDs. Donation to the space suggested for the kit. Pay what you feel. And he says, potentially we can rerun it the next Thursday if there's lots of interest. And I mentioned about Alex's bent lead screw. A number of suggestions came through, including a video of how it might be tackled from Andy. And I know Richard also spoke to him as he was visiting on Sunday, I think it was. And I mentioned it, or Saturday, mentioned it to him. He's had experience of similar things. So hopefully Alex got his screw all sorted out before his trip to the NEC this week. Of course, it's the lead screw for 3D printer, a very large one he's building around at Reading Buses, for those who don't know about that project. And there's a number of posts from potential new member Raz, who wants to get membership sorted out and using the laser by the looks of it. So hopefully he got sorted out this Wednesday. And I posted up the comment about the Cobra Mill. I think I mentioned that it was out on the top, and it was commented from while I was doing some work on my project by Alex, who said he hadn't realised it was there until recently, and then when he used it, it was very useful, and that others had said the same thing, and because it was one of the lists of questions that came through with the newsletter, an attachment on the newsletter number 4 about tools that were of questionable value. I posted that up, and it seems there's a couple of people agreeing with that, so hopefully that will be staying in place. And another one of the cards, if you're having problems with your card, or if you haven't been in touch with the directors and renewed your membership details, it may be that your card doesn't work, so don't expect to be turning up and just using it if you haven't had confirmation that your data has been updated in the new card database. And Tuesday night was another bored, stupid evening. I didn't manage to make it along this time. I haven't really caught up with what was tasked to do last week. They were on to the actual PCB layout, and there's been an update on the Git. So Alex wouldn't have been around to do any video this week. But I think there's been enough interest that the course will be being rerun in the future, and it'll give people a chance to catch up with KiCad and the other tools. And talking about Alex at the TCT exhibition, Tony was up there and posted a picture of a very proud Alex with his stand. And apparently Tony said that the theme of, well, two themes of the show this year, one was very large printers, and the other was different types of filament, particularly different dosed PLA forms, producing stronger and higher quality prints, but using PLA temperatures. One of the problems is if you're mixing different types of filament, especially high and lower temperature ones, it's cleaning out the print head with the higher temperature when you come to reduce the lower temperature. And Richard brings good news, saying, I've just been up to Oxford to pick up some stuff donated by RS. Significant 3D printers, two 3D printers, and some Raspberry Pis, and a mix of other items. So they'll be sorted and put in the space. And of course, one of the tasks is to sort out the main room and start making it as tidy and well organized as it was previously. And now it has to compete with the downstairs area. So that's good news, and we thank RS for those donations. And David posts up in a new thread about PCB layout for the Board Stupid project, a link to stackexchange.com, describing a feature in KiCad that automatically spreads out the component stack that PCB new creates when the netlist is imported. There are limitations as noted in the above reference, but it provides a much simpler and quicker starting point than manual pick and place. It's called auto spreads rather than auto routing, and explains how to use it in the post there, so that's a handy tip. Probably ought to be in the wiki under the, I guess, elements of the Board Stupid if we don't have that in our PCB interest group notes on the wiki. Note to self. And there is a note that the Wi-Fi SSID, that's the name that pops up in the list, has been changed from Ready Hackspace to RLAB with the same password. So if you're signing into the Hackspace Wi-Fi, you'll have to re-enter the password, as it will be saved under a different name. Although I think I did on my Nexus, I didn't, and on my Windows machine I did. So it may be different for different operating systems. And Arthur updates the thread about activities downstairs. As I just mentioned, the tidy up project going ahead strongly, having taken out the small room. Lots of storage appearing on the walls and in little cubby holes. Lots of benches and space for doing projects. So there's a number of things being done. Check up on the thread about downstairs. But also, they just took down the metal storage unit that was on in the bay, freeing up a wall under headlines of a new wall found at our lab. And David J suggests it's ideal for a mural, and we do have a lot of old paint kicking around, says Arthur. So our mural person, Michael Carlton, I think might be able to. I don't know. I think he's been very busy since he's done those small murals around the space that have really brightened up and intrigued people in various unexpected places. It's something he does as a living, as a profession, going around doing similar. I mentioned it before, but it's fascinating that he has to consider very carefully the contents of the murals so as they're appropriate to the place that they're in, but also that they don't cause any issues with any of the symbols that are incorporated into them. And a further update on the bandsaw, this time talking about inductions. Also, a collection of new blades have arrived. So inductions, two levels, basic use and advanced. Even if you're a confident user of the current bandsaw, you will need an induction to protect you and the tool. Maximum of three inductees. Checks to make sure the machine is set up correctly when you use it. Safe and limits advanced use. Maximum two inductees. Basic plus blade selection and blade speeds, changing blades. So other contents of those two. He said he'd be around most days this week. A lot of people expressing an interest, and he requests that post up what days you'd be interested in and what level of induction. So that's 3 for basic and 2 for advanced each evening. And we've got Thursday and Friday left, but there'll be opportunities in the future as well, I'm sure. And Tara updates us about the sewing workshop she did last week and plans to do another one this coming Saturday at 2 p.m. There are 3 people interested, myself, Arthur and Marie. I think that's probably near enough a full limit if we all turned up. But if other people are interested, post up in the thread sewing machine workshop. And so lastly, hot off the press comes in a request from Oliver saying, has anyone got any experience with Tag Connect, tag-connect.com, or the J-Link 10-pin needle adapter? And he posts the links to both of those. So if you have, post up under Tag Connect. I have myself, Richard might, but he's away at the moment. So that's all for this week. It looks as though it'll be a busy weekend with more workshop work going on. And if you get a chance to make a tool holder for downstairs, then that's a task that there's still an outstanding request for. Bits of MDF are around. Make up a board on that 50 by 50 matrix for one or more types of tool. So on that note, this is Mike the Bee signing off.